Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. In today's episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about geographical indications, and specifically the new EU regulation on geographical indications for craft and industrial products, which entered into force on the 16th of November 2023. This introduces EU-wide protection for geographical indications, or GIs, for products such as glass, pottery, lace, and knives. Now, to explain a bit more about this important initiative in Europe, I'm joined by two members of the Marx Geographical Indications team. Tilde Adam van Straten is head of the IP group at Evershed Sutherland in the Netherlands, and she was formerly a member of Unilever's IP team. And Maria Ceballos is a partner of Corel Suñol in Spain. She has a law degree and is also qualified as an IP attorney. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, James. It's really a pleasure to be able to talk about the new regulation.
Same here. Thank you, James. Thank you, Vera.
Maybe we should start right at the beginning and just refresh people on what geographical indications are and why they're important in Europe. Tira, could you just give us a brief introduction, please?
Of course. GIs seem to remain the sort of odd one out in trademark land, but it's basically a quality scheme which aims to protect a specific name of a product and to promote its unique characteristic that is linked to their geographical origin or a traditional way of being produced. A GI should give the consumer trust and assurance that the product is of a certain quality. Do you agree, Maria?
Completely, yeah.
And Maria, people will be familiar, I think, with GIs for things like wines and spirits and cheese and ham and meat products. What is different about this new regulation?
Well, you know, these products you were mentioning, they have been protected on EU level so far, but the crafts and industrial products have only been protected by some countries in the European Union. So this regulation gives full protection in all European Union countries to this other type of products. That's the new thing. Also including those countries where there was no regulation for this other type of products, because so far only agricultural products, wines and spirits have been included in the regulations.
So when it comes to craft and industrial products, I think some EU member states had protected those under national legislation, but many had not. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And Tira, how will the registration of these new non-agricultural GIs, as I think we call them, how will that work in practice?
Well, for the most part, similar to the current scheme, except for the mandatory requirements. So basically, a producer group needs to substantiate that a product is rooted in or originates from a specific place or a region or a specific country, and that geographical origin is essential. That's a really important thing, that it's essential for the quality, the reputation, or other characteristics of that product. And a third condition, that a minimum of one production step, and this was part of the ongoing discussions when drafting the regulation, that at least one production step takes place there in that specific region, country, or specific place. And then the producer may be eligible for a non-agri GI. And the registration process can have a national and a union phase, or just a union phase. Depends. We won't go into too much detail because it's only relevant when you really start applying for a non-agri GI. But the union phase will be dealt with by a separate division of the EU IPO. That's also different from the current agri GI scheme.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. So does that mean that those three criteria that you mentioned, will they be assessed as part of the registration process?
Yes, they will be assessed. So they will be assessed both on a national level and, of course, with regards to the national phase, that will be done by especially the countries who already have a non-agri GI scheme in place, and countries, member states who do not have can opt out of that national phase. And secondly, the EUIPO will check if these requirements are met. So basically, it's really building a dossier by these producer groups if you really want to be eligible for a non-agri GI. But again, that's the same for the current GI scheme. So building that dossier, proving what is really specific for that non-agri GI in relation to these three mandatory requirements is what takes most time.
Yes, yes. And so anyone who wants to apply for one of these, they need to sort of understand the requirements and make sure they have all the evidence, documentation, and so on in place. And Maria, when does it come into effect? I mentioned that the regulation came into force last month, but I think it's a bit longer, isn't it, before you can actually apply for these non-agri GIs?
Yeah, exactly. It will enter into force in December, 1st of December of 2025. And there is a reason for this delay in this enforcement of the law. It's because countries have to adapt a bit their system. They have to designate authorities who are competent for this registration process. And also the office, the EUIPO, has to launch the computer system to be able to support all these norms and all these applications and registrations.
And Maria, do you expect that it will be very popular? Do you think there'll be a lot of people who want to get GIs for their craft and industrial products?
There has been some divergence in the numbers, in the expected numbers. We talked about this with Therabi because there were some studies which said that there would be around 800 applications for this kind of GIs. But in other reports, the estimation fall down to 300, which is 300 in the next 10 years. Right, so it's not very much considering that nowadays there are almost 4,000 agri GIs in the European Union registry. So probably the impact of this regulation for European Union countries is not very high. There are many third countries outside the EU which are interested in registering in the European Union and having reciprocity also. Offering reciprocity in their countries. So for these countries, it may be interesting, very interesting.
And so it will be possible for people from outside of Europe to apply for non-agri GIs?
Exactly. Through this Lisbon Agreement, which is a treaty administered by the WIPO, they can have this reciprocity. Also, in particularly by the Geneva Act, which has been signed by the European Union. However, now the regulations are not modified. They have to be updated with this new regulation so that this Geneva Agreement, this Geneva Act also applies to these countries, because up to date, it's not possible yet.
Yeah, so James, sorry to interrupt, but just to be clear, a foreign producer group can only apply if it can prove that the product it applies for is also protected in the country of origin.
In its own country.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe it's interesting to note that the Lisbon Agreement is like the Madrid Agreement for trademarks, but applied to GIs. That means that you need to have a basic registration, which is exactly what Thera was explaining. This basic registration is the GI from your country of origin that gives you the chance to seek protection in other countries based on that registration.
Thera, you're in the Netherlands. Do you think there'll be a lot of demand in the Netherlands for non-agri GIs?
Well, I think you're asking a very limited user of the current GI scheme, apart from our Delft porcelain and some other porcelain in the north. I haven't heard of many optional producer groups applying for it, but I wouldn't claim to know everything about the Dutch culture in such detail that I am missing something. So,
And Maria, what about Spain? I think Spain has quite a good tradition in certainly in the agricultural GIs.
Yeah. Spain is one of the strongest countries in this area. Also, together with France and Italy, you know, we have a lot of GIs registrations. And for industrial and crafts, we have also a minor number, but still we have some traditional products. I think there will be certain groups very much interested in this new regulation. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Tira, once the non-agri GIs are registered, how will they be enforced in Europe?
Again, that is similar to the current agri GI protection. And I think most importantly for the people listening to this podcast is that it also includes that sort of famous GI concept that non-agri GIs are also protected against revocation. That's a really key GI concept. And I think it's good to just remind the people what evocation is again, because the ECJ has made a sort of six-step test with regards to evocation, which in simple language sort of reintroduces the concept of mere association. For example, if just partially incorporating the name of a GI or a certain phonetic or visual similarity or any sufficiently clear or direct conceptual proximity, there could already be a question of infringement, because that would be considered revocation. But I do know that Maria is very specialized in speaking about the subject, so she might want to add to this.
Evocation is a proper concept to GIs, which does not exist in trademarks. That meaning that GIs enjoy a broader protection than trademarks, because evocation, which, by the way, is for the first time included in this regulation, contrary to the now to the agri regulations, which do not provide the concept for evocation, this regulation does, in a certain article, and copies the definition given by the case law by the ECJ in several cases. Evocation means that evocation of a geographical indication shall be deemed to arise where a sufficiently direct and clear link with the product is created in the mind of the average consumer. So this sufficiently direct and clear link, which can include not only a word similarity, but also visual similarity or conceptual similarity between the sign which is being used in the market and the protected name in the registry, that can evocate in consumers. Anything that can evocate in consumers the GI is prohibited under these rules.
So it's quite broad protection potentially, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you can do something that evokes that GI, it could be slightly similar wording, or maybe using part of the GI, or as you said, some sort of image or other thing that references the GI, then that may fall under the restriction.
Exactly, because when you apply for a GI, either an agri GI or a non-agri GI, you apply for a name, for a word. So that's what gets to the registry. But then there may be products in the market which somehow evocate because of their visual presentation, because of their conceptual meaning. They may evocate the GI, the protected name, and this the use of such products can be prohibited under this protection, which is particular for GIs.
Yeah, so it's something that manufacturers, retailers should be aware of. They'll need to make sure that their products and services don't fall foul of some of these GIs once they're registered. Interesting. Yeah. Are there any other implications for IP rights, trademarks, or other IP rights that are raised by GIs? Tira?
I think the most important thing is our team has been very vocal over the last years about this, is that for trademark practitioners, it's relevant to bear in mind the GI and both non-agri and agri schemes. Because when you're sending out an availability search, you can count on it that GIs are not included in the results most of the times. Also due to the fact there's a lot of bilateral agreements regarding GIs, but also with regards to the European GIs in the regulations. So with that, I'm saying just be conscious that because of that far-reaching revocation protection, which is almost bringing back association beyond the confusion infringement in trademark law, you can be infringing a GI, even though it's a totally different class product than your client wants to use a similar conceptually or visually or whatever trademark, but it can still infringe that GI. So it's really something to bear in mind and either ask the research what the possibilities are to also check on GIs, but at least as a trademark practitioner, you should have a basic awareness of the risks.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Maria said there's a few thousand GIs already in Europe. There may be a lot more with the craft and industrial products in a couple of years' time, so you'll need to be aware of them.
And it will be interesting because it might also have influence on not just the registration of trademarks, but perhaps also the registration of design rights. Because in the end, a non-agri GI, even though the dossier describes the way something is produced, the end product will highly likely be a design, the shape and form of a product. So in that sense, when you're registering designs, it might also be very relevant to take these non-agri GIs into account.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Thera, because these crafts, they are not only known by their name, I mean, by their place of origin, but mostly by their design or shape. Think about pottery, think about many objects that are crafts, and what first comes to your mind is the visual aspect of the product, not the name.
And that combined with that revocation concept is I think a fair risk when you look at design registrations.
Yes, there'll be lots for people to think about, won't there, once it comes into play.
Well, that's part of the wondrous world of IP, that there's always lots to think about.
Yeah, I also wanted to add that in this regulation, for the first time, there are some additional grounds included for cancelling the geographical indications, because in the other agri regulations, the ones which have been enforced now for wines, spirits, and agri foods, the only grounds for cancelling a GI were like technical grounds, or the fact that the Association of Producers have not used the GI for a period of 7 years. In this regulation, it is said that the registration of a GI can be cancelled, among other reasons, also because it was a generic term or an homonym name to another GI, or it was contrary to Article 44, which refers to an earlier well-known trademark or a trademark with reputation. These particular grounds of cancellation are not in the other regulations for GIs, for agri GIs, right? So that's an interesting thing to note, even though in practice I must say that I do not know many cases of not many, not even a couple of cases of GIs being cancelled once they are registered, but just that you know.
Okay. I mentioned you're both part of the Marks Geographical Indications team, which obviously follows GI developments. Tira, has the team been very involved in this process leading to this regulation? Have you been making representations and so on?
We definitely have. We had to dive into the archives a bit because, well, that's always with legislation that is being drafted. But we have made submissions to Brussels on behalf of Marks, both in 2014 and 2021. We issued an article in October 2015 about this in a newsletter of House Marks. So we've definitely been involved.
It's been quite a long process, hasn't it?
It's been since at least 10 years ago, I believe, the discussion started about whether a non-agri scheme was something that the EU should implement.
And Maria, is the team continuing to work on it? Are there things that you're still looking at as the implementation develops?
Well, yeah, we are now very much following this review of the Agri-GIs regulation, which has been, there is a proposal for a regulation and it is now under discussion in the EU bodies. So we are following this much up and we are also having another project and following other meetings like the WIPO meeting that took place in in September regarding GIs. It's a global meeting and well we are very much following the different issues arising from GIs.
Yeah, and also some members of our team are working on a fact sheet that will provide a sort of short guide regarding GIs and PDOs, which focuses on the key concepts such as revocation, but also the other relevant concepts, and also some practical tips for legal practitioners and Marks members. So there's various pieces of work ongoing in the team.
Thank you very much. I think we're just coming to the end. I just want to ask you both finally, are you optimistic about this this new non-agri GI right? Do you think it will be popular? Do you think it will work smoothly and deliver what it aims to do? Tira, what do you think?
It's a very good question. It's always a bit of a crystal ball question, but if you look at the background and the reasoning for the EU drafting the regulation, it's all very almost romantic. You know, it's like should be profitable for the regions and it should be a focus on local. So it sort of fits in the whole farm to fork green deal back to regional focus, but as I said about the dossier and drafting it and the efforts that go into that, and then also keeping that producer group alive and active, because enforcement sounds nice, but enforcement costs money and resources. So a producer group has to have a certain standard, also from a cost perspective, to be able to first apply, and second to enforce it, and to have a scheme in place for new members or new professionals. So it sounds really almost idealistic, but we have to see if it really brings what it supposedly should bring. And of course, we have the example of the Champagne and many other successful agri GIs, but as Maria said, we are talking about 4,000, and I think most of the consumer may have difficulty to mention more than 20 of those by heart because of how well known they are. So that might be a bit of a mirror for how I think about the successfulness of the non-agri scheme.
Be something people will have to think about very carefully if they want to do it.
Well, yeah, and carefully, and do they have the means? Both from a know-how and from the funding side to really take this forward.
Maria, what do you think? Are you optimistic?
Well, I am. I am also with Thera in the that the purposes and the aim of the regulation also are very good. In general, for GIs, it's to promote development of certain regions, create a better economy in some areas, and so on. I have a couple of doubts, maybe. The first one refers to when it comes to decide what is a craft product, since the definition given in the regulation is that it doesn't have to be produced entirely by hand. It can be produced with the aid of manual or digital tools or by mechanical means, whenever the manual contribution is an important component of the finished product. So when is the manual contribution in an important component? That's it's a key issue, right? Because it has to be significant, but it doesn't have to be entirely handcrafted. So that's an important point. The second issue would be that EUIPO would be it's the first time that would be a registration body for GIs.
Well, I think that wraps up today's episode of the Talking Marks podcast. Thank you very much indeed to Tira and Maria for joining us today. And thanks also to everyone for listening. As I think Maria mentioned, you can find out more information about geographical indications from the members of the GI team and also the GI team page on the Marks website. And we'll also be looking out for that fact sheet when it's published soon. This is the last episode of Talking Marks for this year, so we send season's greetings to all of our listeners. But do look out for more episodes of Talking Marks in 2024. But for now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.